Now, this is perhaps the most well understood, preached on topic or passage. That's what I really want to say, a passage in regard to evangelism. And that is our series. We're trying to encourage all of us in the area of evangelism for the coming year. And certainly John chapter 3 is one of those passages that is an excellent source of information and instruction about personal evangelism. In fact, you can't get more personal than one-on-one, and that's what we have here. We have our Lord Jesus and a ruler of the Jews named Nicodemus. And by the way, if you go through the gospel accounts, this won't be the last time you run across that name, Nicodemus, because apparently, whether this night or subsequently, at some point in time, Nicodemus became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to think that it was this very night, but we're not told that specifically here. In any event, we have titled the message, Born Again. But when you compare chapters 3 and 4 of John's Gospel, what you have here is what I'm calling white collar and blue collar evangelism. Now, in a moment, I'll explain that. What I want to do is let you know that for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be in the third chapter of John. The fourth week, we'll enter John chapter 4. But we're starting chapter 3 today. Why do I call this white-collar evangelism? Well, it depends on your definition of white-collar. Usually, when we use that term, we're talking about the income, the economic power of an individual, but sometimes we use it to refer to their status in society. And that's the way I'm using it here, status in society. Here you have a man named Nicodemus, and he is at the pinnacle of his society. He is a man who is a ruler of the Jews, and he is a Pharisee. And so, here, and he is, as Jesus states a little later in the passage, we read it already, the teacher of Israel. He was the teacher, the one to whom everyone else looked and by whom everyone else was judged in terms of their teaching ability. So here is a man who in his own society cannot get any higher than he already is. But the problem is he's lost. He's unsaved. He's on his way to hell. And he does not realize this. But at the same time, we must assume that Nicodemus realizes there's something that's not right here with me. Because why else would he come to Jesus privately for an interview? And that's the impression you get from this text. So, we need to learn to evangelize, to witness to white collars, because we have white collars today. Who are the white collars today? Well, they're the people that are generally higher in society, perhaps, than others. If you divide social position into two categories, you've got what I'm calling the white collars and the blue collars. I did a lot of blue collar work once upon a time. I worked in a Ford dealership and sold auto parts, and I worked on a tractor in the woods, a bulldozer in the woods, and was a forest ranger, and you know, did a lot of those kind of things, and they're pretty blue-collar type things. Worked in factories and such as this. There's nothing right, and in fact, some blue-collar people I know make a lot more money than the white-collar people. So we're not talking about what the income is. We're talking about how you see yourself and how other people see you in the society in which we live. And so you have today professional people, men and women, doctors, nurses, lawyers, etc., and they're in the white-collar area. Now, they have a special problem, and that is most of them don't see themselves as in need of a Savior. And Nicodemus represents that for us. So let's see how Jesus handles this situation and what he can teach you and me about witnessing to white-collar people. Because you'll run into, even if you yourself don't see yourself as a white-collar person, you encounter them. Probably everybody here goes and sees a doctor at some point in time. That's a white-collar person. Or you have legal issues and you go see an attorney. That's a white-collar person. And on we could go with examples of that. People who are managers in business, etc. These are white-collar people. So most of them don't see themselves needing a Savior. How do we deal with them? How can we witness to these? Well, first of all, we need to understand that they need to be born again, and we need to convey that to them. And if you'll notice the text in front of you, Jesus wastes no time with Nicodemus. He goes right to the issue. If I can put it in these terms, he goes right for the throat. You know, because Nicodemus comes, man of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews. That means he was on the ruling council, the Sanhedrin, of which you read especially a good deal in the trial accounts of the Lord Jesus and the crucifixion accounts. So here he is. He's a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night. Why did he come by night? Because he did not want others to know that he was going to see Jesus. Later on in John's Gospel, John makes the comment that many of these, and Nicodemus would fall into this category, believed in Jesus, but they didn't do so openly because they loved the praise of men rather than the praise of God. Strong words, but you're going to have to deal with it. So here's this man coming to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi," and this is an interesting phrase because Nicodemus himself was a rabbi and well acknowledged in his society for this. And keep in mind, Jesus is, he's a carpenter from Galilee. He is, Jesus himself starts out as what we would call today a blue-collar worker. Being a carpenter is blue-collar. And his teaching ability is something that didn't come because he went to school and learned to be a rabbi. Now, that may have been the case with Nicodemus, but it wouldn't have been the case with Jesus. Nevertheless, Nicodemus addresses him with this respectful term. He calls him a rabbi or teacher. "We know that you have come from God as a teacher." And by the way, this is an admission on the part of Nicodemus, because not everybody in his group would say that. They would find reasons to insist that Jesus didn't come from God. One of the principal ones that you run into all the time in the gospel accounts is Jesus healed and taught and did other things on the Sabbath day. And they saw that as a violation of the Sabbath. That's not a violation according to the Word of God, but according to their rules and regulations, it was. And so they found reasons to criticize Jesus and say that he wasn't a teacher come from God. If he was, he wouldn't have violated their Sabbath rules. But Nicodemus is willing to say, you have to be a teacher come from God, and here's the reason. It doesn't have anything to do with the Sabbath. No one can do these signs. We talked about this last Sunday. The signs are the miracles. No one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. So here's a real admission on the part of Nicodemus. He understands that this man, Jesus, is a teacher. He's been sent from God. And the signs are the proof of his being sent from God. But he needs to go a step further because, as we saw last Sunday, the signs are given to demonstrate his deity. And Nicodemus isn't at that point yet. But he'll have to get there. And so Jesus responds to him in verse 3, and this is, of course, our memory verse. "Truly, truly," your translation may say "verily, verily." That's what the word "verily" means. But the Greek says, "Amen, amen." That's the Greek text. It means "truly, truly." All right, and it was a double affirmation. Normally, you would just say truly, amen, or verily. But a double affirmation emphasizes the validity of what is about to be said. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's be clear. Nicodemus understood what Jesus was saying. Let's make sure we're understanding it as well. The kingdom of God, well, let me put it to you this way. You go to Matthew's gospel and you find the phrase kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the sphere of profession. The kingdom of God is the sphere of possession. And those who are part of the kingdom of God, whether redeemed human beings or whether holy angels, are those who are willingly subject to the God and Savior of the universe. And so when Nicodemus hears the phrase kingdom of God, he understands that to mean the kingdom of those who are saved, the kingdom of the redeemed. So what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus and what we would understand today is simply this: you cannot be saved unless you were born again. Now, Nicodemus had everything going for him religiously, and many people today think that they have everything going for them religiously. Nicodemus, one thing that goes with, goes without saying here, he was a Jew. He was of the chosen race. This was the group that God had called out from among all the other peoples of the world. This is the group that had received all the blessings of God. You can read about these in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Paul says, here's what God did for the Jews. He gave them covenants. He established treaties with the not with the Gentiles, not with the Chinese or the Ugandans or the British, but with the Jews. He established all these treaties. We call them covenants. He did all that and gave them promises. And on he goes. The Word of God came through Jewish writers. None of this came through the Gentiles. But Jesus says to Nicodemus, even though you're part of this group of people and you're the teacher of this group and you're a Pharisee, zealous for the law, and you're one of the leaders of the nation, you need to be born again. Otherwise, you won't even see the kingdom of God, let alone be a part of it. You're not even going to see it. Strong language, especially for someone from a little town in Nazareth, in Galilee, called Nazareth, of which we saw last week, one fellow said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? This is strong teaching from the teacher from Nazareth to the teacher of Israel, the great professor of Israel. But Jesus gets right to the issue. All right, if you are convinced because of the signs that I have been sent from God, let me tell you what God says to you. You have to be born again. And people need to hear that today. Everybody does, but especially what I'm calling the white collar crowd, because they think, well, you know, I'm prosperous and God must like me, because I'm making a lot of money and I'm well respected in the community and I have all these, and so God must really like me. Well, not necessarily. The devil may like you real well too. He can give you all those things. Isn't that what the devil promised Jesus in the temptation? Here you are. I'll give you everything you see if you'll just fall down and worship me. And Jesus didn't say, well, you can't do that. That's not... No, it was in his power. He's the God of this world. He's the prince of this world. And he can do as he wishes with the things of this world. So, yeah, you may have a lot of things. It may just show that the devil likes you a lot. But the point that we have here is that everybody needs to be born again. And especially do the I don't know, years ago we called young adults in this category the yuppies. So if you remember that phrase. The yuppies have got to hear this. You're not saved because you have all these things and you're part of the pleasant society and the nice society. You're saved because you're born again. Let's be sure we understand about born again. The literal from the original means born from above. Born from above. Not just born a second time. It means that too. But not just that. It means to be born from above. It refers to a spiritual birth. And Jesus is going to make that clear because Nicodemus is going to protest about this. This brings us to the second thing that we need to learn. Not only does everyone need to be born again, no matter how well they fit into society and how highly they think of themselves, that very thing brings us to the next thing. Self cannot save. There is no self-help way of salvation. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Now, you and I might be excused for thinking this. I don't think Nicodemus can. He's hearing Jesus say this in the original language. And he knows that Jesus is saying you have to be born from above. And so he brings up this issue. Well, you can't enter your mother's womb a second time and be born. I think he knew very well that wasn't what Jesus was saying, but people do make objections, don't they? We don't want, excuse me, we don't want to think that we're lacking in some way or that we need the grace of God to save us. But that's what being born again indicates. I can't help myself. I need the grace of God. I need God to do something for me. I have to be born from above. And so Jesus answered, and here's the second amen, amen. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this really is not a big issue, but commentators and theologians like to thrash around here, and you'll probably run into this if you do any outside reading. So let me just tell you that being born of water and the Spirit means being born physically and spiritually. And I base that on the context. Look at the next verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The issue that Jesus is bringing up here is it's not enough to be born physically. It doesn't matter if you're born a Jew of the Jews. That's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, called himself in the book of Philippians. He said, "I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was the Jew's Jew." You couldn't get any further along in the track than I was, but all of it, he says, was trash. All of it was rubbish. It didn't help me a bit. It's only Christ. It's only Christ that can save. Being a Jew, being of the tribe of Benjamin, being circumcised the eighth day and all these other things, so far as salvation is concerned, that's all rubbish. And so, Nicodemus, like the Apostle Paul, at this stage of his life is depending on those kind of things. I've done everything that the law says to do. I must be saved. And yet, I need to come and talk to Jesus by night. There's something that's not right here. I'm not satisfied. I'm not sure that I'm born again. You're going to run into people like that. When you get into serious conversation, they're not sure. They're not sure. And this is why Bill Fay, in his approach to evangelism, likes to ask a final question of people. If what you're believing is not right, would you want to know? Would you want to know? Nicodemus wants to know. He believes all the right things up to a point, but he's not satisfied. And you and I will run into people like that as well. So he says, unless one is born of water, referring to the water of the womb, and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And the point is, without a spiritual birth, nobody enters that sphere of profession, the kingdom of God. The sphere of possession, possessing eternal life. You have to be born again. That which is born of the flesh is just that. It's just flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, how many times has he said it here? That you cannot save yourself, you have to be born from above. Don't find it amazing that I say to you, you have to be born from above. I'll give you an example, and of course, sometimes preachers tell us about their witnessing, and they do things that most of us don't do. I don't get on an airplane very often. In fact, I don't expect to ever get on one again. But preachers, many of them, fly here and there and everywhere. And so they're trapped on a plane with somebody else, and they get an opportunity to witness to them. Dr. Gannett, some of you here remember Dr. Gannett now with the Lord, but he used to fly a lot in ministry, and he would ask people, and by the way, a lot of the experts on evangelism tell you, don't ever do this. But he would ask people, are you a Christian? And the experts say, you don't want to ask that because everybody says yes, you know, or almost everybody. And so he would, Dr. Gannett would ask people if they're a Christian. He said most of the time they'd say, well, I'm a Methodist or I'm a Baptist, right? And they'd name their denominational affiliation. At which Dr. Gannett would respond, are you a born-again Methodist or Baptist or whatever the case might be? And if they weren't, there would be hesitation. They might even say, I'm not sure what you mean, but even if they didn't come out, there'd be that hesitation. And oftentimes it would open a door for witness. And Dr. Gannett would just open his Bible or whatever to John chapter 3 and walk them through it. You can do the same thing if the door is open. This is what I like about Bill Fay. If what you're believing is wrong, would you want to know it? Most people are going to say, yeah, I would want to know that. Well, there's your door. And you can open them, open up to John chapter 3. You have to be born again. You have to be born from above. You have to be born by the Spirit. And the only way that that can happen is if God does it. That's called grace, when God does it. When I do it, it's called works. But when God does it, it's called grace. And that's what has to be done. So, self cannot save. And this, of course, was the problem with Nicodemus and most of the Jews of his day. Not everyone. I'm always impressed with what we read about Peter. And I think this is Luke chapter 5, where there's that marvelous harvest of fish. You know, they've been out fishing all night. They haven't caught anything. I don't know how many fishermen we have here, but if you've ever been a fisherman and you haven't caught anything, doesn't matter whether it's all night or a couple hours, you haven't caught anything, they don't want to talk about it. But these guys admitted to Jesus they hadn't caught any fish. He said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And, you know, Jesus is a carpenter by profession. These guys are professional fishermen. They know how to catch fish in the normal situation. And Peter says, look, we fished all night. We haven't caught anything. And the implication is, we know how to catch fish if they're out there. But, nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down the nets. Well, you know what happened next. They caught so many fish, the nets started to tear. So great a weight of fishes. Peter said, and this is what impresses me, Peter says, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. Now, you don't see Nicodemus suggesting that. He may realize it in his heart of hearts, but he's not verbalizing it. Peter verbalizes it. And this is one of the things that made Peter so great as a leader of the disciples. Get away from me. I'm a sinful man. At the end of John's gospel, he basically says the same thing. Not verbalizing it, but Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter, yes, I do. Do you love me? And Peter's grieved because he thinks, this is my interpretation, Peter thinks his usefulness is done. I don't know that he thinks that he's not saved anymore, but he's convinced he can't serve anymore. He's done. And our Lord is so, so gracious. So gracious. My. Well, so we come back to John chapter 3. And we see something else. And I've labeled this education won't avail. Now, we're not anti-education. You know, I've been a little educated, and many of you here have been much more educated. It's not the issue of are we anti-education. The issue is, does being educated save you? And Nicodemus certainly was, but that didn't save him. Now, why do I call it this? Well, let's pick up at verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is the nature of those who have been born from above, born by the Spirit. The natural man can't understand who we are or why we do what we do or say what we say or go where we go. And he says that's the nature of the person. I'm tempted to say unnatural, but that brings up wrong connotations. He's supernatural. He's no longer just a natural man, he's supernatural. And so Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel, and you don't understand these things? Now, sometimes when we're around people that are more educated than we, or in a higher status in society, and again, not picking on doctors, but they're good examples of what I'm trying to say. You know, you get around a doctor, and they've been, I don't know, 7 years or more, 8 years in training in this area and residency and all these sort of things. And you think to yourself, well, how can I talk to a person like this? How can I get across to a person like this? Well, here's Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth in Galilee, talking to Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, at the pinnacle of his society, and they're in Judea, the place to be from, and even more specifically in Jerusalem, even more the place to be from. How does a lowly carpenter, self-educated, as it were, teach this man? But Jesus doesn't hesitate. Now you say, yeah, but that was Jesus. Okay, I understand that. But he's giving us a pattern here. He does all these things and they're recorded for us so that we can see the pattern. That's the reason, let me just take you back a few minutes to this. That's the reason Jesus was baptized. Even John the baptizer knew that Jesus didn't need to be, to be baptized. But Jesus wanted to be baptized to set a pattern for you and me. And so, consequently, we have a pattern here. And Jesus does not hesitate to talk to the great doctor. I got a letter from a local person recently. Everyone here would know him if I mentioned his name. And I noticed that he now has the title of Doctor So-and-so. He's a PhD. I don't know where he got this. I have no... Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. I have no idea where he became a doctor. But anyway, that shouldn't intimidate any of us, whether PhD or MD or DD or whatever, or THD, theologian. If they're not born again, they're lost and on their way to hell, and it does, they'll just have a big string of titles to weigh them down. That's all. That's all. And so, white collar or not, Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen." Now, notice he doesn't say I. He says we. We who are part of the kingdom of God speak that which we know. Well, wait a minute. Are you sure you know? Yeah, I'm sure I know. This book says so. I know. And what's more, you don't. If you're not born again, you don't know this. But I do. Not because I've got all the letters after my name. And again, I insist, I'm not despising people who are well educated. I'm thankful that I got to sit under people like Dr. Gannett and Dr. Rayford. And people, yes, I appreciate that. But I've also met doctors that couldn't train my dog to drink water. You know, I mean, there are people that they're very educated, but they don't know. And Jesus said, we know and bear witness what we have seen. It's not just that I've got something up here, I've got something in here too. I've got a personal experience. And if you're born again today, that's true of you as well. And here's the heart of the message for us today. Amen. Yes, they need to be born again. And here is how you go about witnessing to them. If they're not born again, then you know what we did when we were kids? Do you remember? I know something you don't know. Well, if you're born again and they're not, you do know something they don't know. You know it here, you've got the facts before you, and you've got it in your heart. We've seen it. We've experienced it. So it's not only intellectual, but it is emotional too. We have had an experience. And I can only speak for myself, but I can go back. Let's see, I had a birthday recently, 54 years ago. All right, I have to do the calculation. You know, the numbers have gotten so big, you have to pause and calculate again. But I can go back 54 years ago and remember the night that I had the experience. And I can remember the truth that I knew. And I trusted in Christ as my Savior. And that's what Nicodemus needed to do. And it's what your medical doctor or your lawyer or the teacher at the college or whoever else it might be. And yes, the blue collars need this too, but this is the problem with the white collars. They don't think they need to be born again. They need to be told that they must be born again. And Nicodemus, now, one other thing, and I hope I'm able to do this every message in this series. God had gotten Nicodemus ready for this. He came to Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't sneak up to him late at night and say, "Hey, shh, psst, over here. Come over here. Let me tell you something." No, he came to Jesus. God had gotten him ready for this. So, he says, "Truly I say to you," we're back at verse 11, "we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." That's the problem, Nick. You're not receiving our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, this is where we have to start with people, even with the white collars, even with the PhDs and etc. Because, yes, they understand things of the earth, but they haven't got a clue about heavenly things. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:14 ought to tell us that. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And the reason is they cannot, because they're spiritually discerned and they haven't got that capacity. Not yet. So he said, Jesus says to Nicodemus, I've told you earthly things, and these are the kind of things that you ought to comprehend, but you're not, you don't receive our witness. How can you possibly believe if I start to tell you deeper truth from the Word of God? And that's something else that you and I need to keep in mind when we're witnessing to people. It doesn't matter what caller, but particularly the white collars, don't get sucked in to, tell me about the rapture of the church. Now, let me tell you about being born again. Then afterwards, we can talk about the rapture of the church. That's important truth, but it's for believers, not for unbelievers. You need to get this matter settled. Only then can you absorb the rest. And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. Where are you going to find out about heaven? From the Son of Man, from this book. The testimony, not from people, and I mentioned earlier, we may go there this evening at least briefly, not from people who say, oh, I took a trip to heaven, we were on the Heaven Express train, and it was great, and we had great food, and that. No, please. You know, I bet you saw UFOs, too, while you were there. Anyway, the point is, only the Son of Man has descended from heaven. He's the only one that can tell us about it. He's the only one that can talk about it. So, education won't avail. Education can be a wonderful thing, but in terms of being saved, you can't be saved because you got more education than somebody else. You have to be born again. Finally, number four in your bulletin outline, faith is essential. Now, you know, this ought to be obvious to all of us sitting here. I trust that it is. But it's not obvious to everybody, even those who claim to be Christians. Because many people I run into, they go to church week after week. And Nicodemus did, in modern terminology. He performed all the religious and acceptable rituals. But he did not have faith in the Son of Man. And you and I have even more information than Nicodemus did 2,000 years ago. There's no excuse for us or for anybody today. So he reminds Nicodemus, beginning at verse 14, and he leads him to something that he would know from his training in the Old Testament truth. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now again, 2,000 years ago, Nicodemus would have known immediately what he was talking about. He was talking about being crucified. Being lifted up was a euphemism in that day and place for being executed, in particularly by Roman crucifixion. And so he says, I'm going to have to die. The Son of Man has to die. This was and remains a stumbling block for Jewish people even today, that the Messiah would have to die. When Messiah comes, he's going to conquer all our enemies and put down everything opposed to the Jewish people and the Jewish race. And by the way, when he comes back the second time, he is going to do that. But he first had to die. And he said to Nicodemus, go back to your Old Testament. You have a picture of this in the lifting up of the serpent in the wilderness. Why was the serpent lifted up? To save those who were bitten by the poisonous snakes. And the Son of Man is going to have to be lifted up to save those who are bitten by sin. That whoever believes may in him have eternal life. There's the faith. How do you have everlasting life? How are you born again? You have to believe in him. There's no other way. You have to put your trust in him. It is, and I agree with those who say it's more than mental assent. It is more. You have to have some knowledge. You have to know who he is and what he did on your behalf. But knowing that will not save you. You have to believe it. You have to trust in it. What did we read not 2 weeks ago? John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You have to put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no other way to be born again. There's no other way to even see the kingdom of God. There's no other way to have eternal life. It's by trust in Christ alone. That's what people need to hear. They need to hear about Jesus, who he is. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. By the way, Son of Man is an Old Testament phrase. It referred to the Messiah. Jewish people 2,000 years ago knew that. So, Son of Man identifies him as the Christ, the Son of God. You believe that he died in your place and rose from the dead. You receive him as your Savior. You're born again. You have eternal life. You become part of the kingdom of God. Tell them. Tell them. Particularly your white-collar friends who may be caught up in the self-help mode. I can get there on my own. You can't. Nobody can. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful that we have a great and glorious message. It's found right here in John chapter 3. And there are so many of our friends and acquaintances, maybe family members, that need to know this truth. Would you, our Father, use us to take that truth to them and then allow the Spirit of God to do his work in their lives? And we'll give you all the praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if Sheila and Daryl would return and help us to sing our closing hymn, which I trust, appropriately enough, is You Must Be Born Again.